Welcome to a message from Oasis Church. For more information about Oasis Church and how you can get connected, please visit myoasischurch.com. Thanks for listening and enjoy the message.
We're in a series, and I'm calling it Faith 101. It's the basics. But I don't know about you, I need the basics. I need to go through them again. Hallelujah. And we're going to go, let's go with me to Hebrews chapter 11. You know, this Bible is packed full of seed. And it has a seed for every need. So whatever you're facing, whatever mountain you're facing, God has a word designed for you in that situation and in that time, that season. And we're going to talk about this word as being your evidence. It is the evidence you're going to have. It's your title deed. No, there's a, used to be an advertisement. I don't know if it's MasterCard. It says, don't leave home without it. Wherever that was. Don't leave home without it. Don't leave anywhere without the word. And I'm talking about hiding that word on the inside of you. There's a place for head knowledge. Usually it starts off with renewing of the mind. But I'm talking about the knowledge that needs to be down in here, revelation knowledge. That's where it needs to be. That's where it has to be. Revelation knowledge of the Word of God, that's the evidence that you need. Amen. So, verse 1, it says, are you with me? Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. Now faith is. I always like that. Faith is always now. Not tomorrow, not next week. You have to look at it from this perspective. It's always present tense. It needs to be fresh. Not, you know, wow, Pastor Chuck, I read the word last year. I mean, I did really good. It needs to be fresh. You need to open up the word and get some fresh word on it, some fresh manna. Hallelujah. Now faith is the substance. It's going to be it is the foundation. It is the support. The substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Now, the Passion Bible says it like this. Now, faith, it's really good. I like the Passion Bible. There again, you got to kind of watch these translations. It's a paraphrase. But it says, now faith brings our hopes into reality and becomes the foundation we need to acquire the things we long for. It is all the evidence required to prove what is still unseen. I like that. So it talks, we got faith. We have hope. Hope is always future. Faith is always now. Hope is what the thermostat does. It sets your faith in motion. You should be hoping for something. You should be expecting something. I'm talking about future tense, right? Once you get the word, which hope, I'm talking about supernatural hope based on the word of God. I'm not talking about wishing wishing and a praying. I'm talking about supernatural hope based on the Word of God. It gives you an expectancy. It gives you an expected end. So in other words, it will actually activate your faith. It energizes your faith to work on that project that you have. You should have a project going on right now. Faith is like a muscle. It needs to be worked. I'm not much into weightlifting. I'm not much into that. I mean, I'm already there. I don't need to do a whole lot of... Okay, I stretched that a little bit. I never was real. I take it back. At one time I did lift weights, but I got delivered from all that. But I understand it. You know, it has crossed my mind to get a weight machine because it does profit. The Bible says it does profit a little, right? And I believe in keeping the body in tune. I believe in keeping it going, you know. But faith is more important. Faith needs to be worked. You don't want flabby faith. You guys ever went into the mirror? Am I the only one? And you kind of go like this? I'm serious. I do that from time to time. And I say it time to time. But not very often because it's kind of not very encouraging. But spiritually speaking, we need to be flexing our muscles. Faith has to be worked. It has to be fed. That's really, those two things are another story. But I'm saying, faith is always now. You should have a faith project going. The Bible says, the just shall live by faith. That means you're going to have to work out every day. I said every day. If you're to live by faith, that's an everyday event. So yes, we should. We should be stronger today than we were last year. We should be stronger today than what we were last week. It's a workout. Your spirit man loves that workout, the working out. The inward man really gets excited because he's expecting. Once you get this word, once you get this hope activated, which activates hope, man, it's exciting. Life should not be boring. Life should be full of joy and happiness. That's what hope does. It brings a joyfulness to you because you're expecting good things. I'm excited about the Word of God. I love it. And not only, listen, it seems like all the time, the Lord's always bringing me, and he does it to everyone, fresh revelation. You know what I mean? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. That's the word rhema. You hear something, and you hear it, and all of a sudden, the light comes on. Amen. Go, man, I didn't know that before. I see it now. It's revelation. That's rhema. That's food. I said, that's food for your inward man. That's what he lives off from, that revelation. Amen. The Bible says man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word, that's rhema, that's revelation word. Man shall live by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. That's how he expects you to live. Well, hallelujah, I'm excited about it. He wants you to, that's food for the inward man. That's what we're talking about. To listen. Why is faith so important? Listen, you could be in faith 1 minute. This is why it's so important. You could be in faith 1 minute. We see this with Peter. You could be in faith doing supernatural things, walking on the water, then next minute sinking. Just that quick. So we can learn from his experience. He got his eyes off the Lord, but we know better, right? We're to keep our eyes on him. He is the author and the finisher of your faith. He's the one that's going to complete it. He started it. He had completed that work in you. But you cannot allow your eyes to depart from him. Keep your eyes on him. Walk by faith. He tells you to do something, you do it. Amen. So it says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Now the Amplified Bible says, now faith is the assurance, the confirmation, the title deed. So the word is your title deed. That's your evidence, right? The doctor may tell you, you only got about 6 months to live. Mm-hmm. Then you get this Bible out and you say, well, thank you, doctor, but you know what? I got evidence here. I have a title deed here says that by his stripes you were healed. So I'll just take that as my evidence. Thank you, doctor. But I'm going to, this is my evidence. This is what I'm going to go by.
Amen.
Amen. So I'm going to hold this up. Amen. It's like if someone came up to me, my truck, and said to me, hey, listen, I think you got my truck. My truck's been missing, and that truck that you're driving looks just like mine. And I'm going to say, no, that's my truck. And he'll say, no, that's my truck. I know, it looks just like that truck. It's got that gold band. And then I'm going to get the title deed out, and I'm going to hold it up to his face. It is my truck. I have title deed.
Amen.
Case closed.
Amen.
Other words, I got the courts backing me up. I can take it to court. I'll win in court. Saints, you got to have the word. If you have the word, you'll win in heaven's court. That's the only court that matters.
Amen.
Is you got the title, you got the evidence.
Amen.
Amen. You don't need to see it. I don't need to see my truck to know, is that really my truck? No, I got the title deed. I don't need to look at my truck. I got the title deed. You don't have to see the physical evidence. You got the title deed. The evidence will follow. It will come into manifestation. There will be a performance. God is a God of His Word. He will honor His Word. If He says it, He'll do it. Well, Pastor Chuck, I'm behind on the bills. The creditors are calling me. But hold it. Are you a tither? Are you a giver? Come on. Hold up your title deed. If you're a tither and a giver, that changes everything now. Because you got the word. In other words, you see, Philippians 4:19. And my God shall supply all your need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. That's your title. That's your evidence. You're a tither, you're a giver, and God's going to supply all your need. That's the evidence you need. Now, you may not see it in manifestation, right? It's not like we believe, and then the next day we have, you know, a manifestation. Some things are quick, some things are not. Especially when it comes to money, it takes a little time, right? Because God has to work with people. People don't want to let go of money. They like to hoard. There's an old saying, you can all you can and you sit on the can. That's what people do. That's what they want to do about money. But not us.
Amen.
No, I tell you what, I look at it this way. Money comes in, goes out. I'm talking about for the gospel, not for buying stuff. You're not taking anything with you. Well, you all see all the stuff I got. You're not taking that with you. How many cars you got? You don't need that many. You can't drive them all at the same time. Now, there's nothing wrong with that. If you have five or six cars, well, hey. God does not have a problem with you having money. God does not have an issue with you having a good fat bank account. God has no issues with that. He doesn't want you coveting money. He doesn't want you chasing it. That's where you get into covetousness and manna, that spirit. I got to have more. You'll never be satisfied. There is no satisfaction in that. I've done that and tried it. It's dead end. There's no satisfaction in that. This will satisfy you. This will get the job done. But listen, to live a victorious life, you got to have the evidence. You got to have the title deed. And I'm not talking about title deed in your mind. Pastor Mark's been talking about this. I'm not talking about being head, head-minded. What's the word I'm trying to use? Sense knowledge. That's not really a word. I guess that'll work. Not just sense knowledge, but I'm talking about heart knowledge. Not just having head faith. Head faith will not last. Head faith will give up. Head faith has no endurance. Sense knowledge gives up. See, Bible says to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. I prefer to have life and peace. Amen. Hallelujah. So, right here it says, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So, what you're doing, you're taking the Word of God, and we know that words can are containers of faith. You're framing your world with the Word of God. Just like it says in verse 3, by faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word. That word is rhema. Now, you're going to hear me say a lot about rhema, word, tonight. Because the word... See, I'm up here, I'm speaking... I teach a message from the Word of God. I'm giving you the Logos. It's a general word for all of you. But out of the Logos will come a rhema, possible, for you. Many a time I'll be sitting there and a rhema, Pastor Mark, Pastor Jerry, who was teaching, I'll get a rhema word. It's a word that it gives illumination. That's the word you want. Amen. Amen. The first time that happened to me, I go, man, that's what I've been looking for. That'll work. I got home, you know, it was night, and you go to bed, and I woke up, and I totally forgot what that word was. Now, why is that? Because a rhema doesn't come from up here. It comes from within. That's the word that the Holy Spirit's given you. That's why you have to write it down, because your mind hasn't caught up with it yet. Your mind is lagging. It lags. But when the Holy Spirit prompts a word to you, that's why I always have this. I write it down. My little mechanical pencil, it does wonders. Because it really aggravated me, because it sparked me. But then by the time the next day rolled around, the mind never got a hold of it. I totally forgot. I said to myself, that will never happen again. Because I take this very seriously. Now, I believe the Lord did remind me what it was, but the point is I took that as an example. I write it down. Because my mind, we're always renewing the mind. The soul. The soul needs to be saved. The mind. But man, when the Holy Spirit speaks, just write it down. That's food. That's revelation. That's food. Hallelujah. Amen. Turn. Actually, I want to go to John 15. I think we'll go John 15. Hallelujah. Because the word, you got to get it in you. You got to meditate in it. It's you know, I think my wife, she reads through the Bible every year. I can't do it every year. I'll be honest with you, I can't do it. I get on something and I'll spend a week, 2 weeks on one sentence. And I'm enjoying every bit of it. Every bit of it. I love it. It seems like I can't go very far without stopping, because the Holy Spirit starts talking to me. Revelation flowing, man, I'm not stopping it. I just go with the flow. Amen. John 15, verse 7, we all know it, but man, I tell you what, this, you incorporate this, saints. Listen to this. It says, if you abide in me, in my words. Here again, that word is rhema. Let me start over again. If you abide in me, in my rhema word, my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it will be done for you. Now that word abide, he said, my words abide in you. That means to take up residence. That means to stay. It means it becomes a part of you. It becomes revelation. That's what that word is. It's a revelation to you. But you're going to have to spend time with that word. Amen. Other words, sometimes, you know, it's like we said before, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. There again, that word is rhema. Romans 10, 17. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word, rhema. But notice before that it says hearing and hearing. It's continuous. It may take you 10 or 15 times of hearing before it becomes a rhema. Food for you. So you have to spend time. Pastor Mark talked about Joshua chapter 1, verse 8. It talks about God told Joshua to keep that word in your mouth continually. Meditate in it daily, day and night, that you may be able to do, to observe, to do. What? Because it's come a rhema for you to do. See, head knowledge just don't go very far. You got to get it in you. Saints, that is the key to victory. That is the key walking in victory day after day. God, you know, this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. He wants to take you from faith to faith, victory to victory. The only way to do that is get the word in you. Let the word abide in you. Let it come alive in you. That's the secret. It's the truth of God's word. See, to become a disciple, you have to continually stay in that word, the word of truth. You have to abide in that. If you don't, saints, you're going to come up short. Because, saints, you need the evidence. Your mind, listen, until this comes rhema, it's not evidence. It's got to become a rhema. It's got to be revelation knowledge. Once it comes revelation, well, Pastor Chuck, how do I know? What's the difference between, listen, when it comes revelation knowledge, you'll see it on the inside of you. And we'll get to that a little bit later. Kenneth Hagin always talked about that, about seeing. And we'll get into that a little bit later. Anyway, I want this because this always spoke. I always liked this one because Jesus said, if you get the word in you so strong that it's living in you, it comes a part of you, then you ask. You see the process here? The first part talks about, he said, verse 7, if you abide in me, of course, if you're born again, amen. You born again? Hallelujah. In Christ Jesus? Well, you abiding in Him. But here's the question. Is the Word abiding in you? This is how you receive. This is how you walk the walk. This is how you walk the walk of faith. Because a walk of faith, you don't walk by sight. But you do walk by faith, which means faith. Faith can see it, spiritually speaking. I'm talking about the inward man. He can see. I'm not talking about the natural man. I'm talking about the inward man. He has to be fed. It's like, I don't know if it's Kenneth Hagin or who it was, but, you know, we feed our bodies 3 hot meals a day, you know, but we snack on the word, a cold snack once or twice a week. I can't remember exactly how that goes, but like one snack a week. F.F. Bosworth, I think, said that. We need to feed ourselves. We need to make sure we're feeding on the word daily. I don't have time. Make time. Make time. Your inward man needs it. He needs it. He don't need to be scrawny and floppy. You need to flex those muscles. Make him strong. Amen. Now listen, the inward man is complete. The Holy Spirit's living in your inward man, but there's food for your inward man, for your soul and your heart. So you got to stay in the Word. It's our food, right? Amen. So, turn with me to Mark chapter 11. Amen. Mark chapter 11. The title deed. Mark 11, 23. Hallelujah. Mark 11, 23, it says, "For surely I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed." And listen, before I go too far, let's just back it up. Verse 21. It says, Peter, remembering, said to him, "Rabbi, look." Because we talked a little bit about this last time. "Look, the fig tree which you cursed has withered away." So here, Peter's surprised, right? He's surprised because Jesus just used words, right? It's not like Jesus used a chainsaw and cut the tree down or something. He just spoke words. He went on about his business. Next day they're coming by and this thing's already, it's withered up, okay? Now this fig trees are about 20 foot by 20 foot, I think, if I remember right. The mature fig tree is about 20 foot by 20 foot. So Jesus cursed the fig tree, and it's withered up, and Peter is fascinated with it. But notice how Jesus' response is. His response was, and Jesus answered and said to him, "Have faith in God." Huh. He goes on to say, "For surely I say to you, whoever says to this..." Now get this, he goes from a tree to a mountain. Hold it now. Could that cause an overload on your faith? Now we hear this a lot, and don't get me wrong, because I believe most of the time God will lead you in small increments. But do not limit God. I didn't say this. He said it. He goes from a tree to, he does not say, "Now, since I spoke to this tree, you too can speak to a tree." He didn't say that. He did not say, "Since I spoke to this tree, have faith in God, you can also speak to this little sapling. You can handle a little sapling. Little one." He goes right to the mountain. That is extreme. Why would he do that? Listen up. One word from God, one rhema word, will move any mountain, anytime, anywhere. Amen. Just one word. Everything is subject to the Word. The Word is the parent force. It made everything you see. Everything you see is temporal, subject to change. If God gives you a word, you do it. Now, for the most part, He will lead you in small steps. But a lot of times we limit God. Oh, I can't do that. Who said? Your unrenewed mind. If God said, it's like Mary said, whatever He says to do. Peter did something. He walked on the water. One word. Never been done before. He gets out of the boat, walks on the water. Never. Never been done. Mary gets a word. Right? 16 years old, 17 years old, gets a word. Never been done before. What are you saying, Pastor Chuck? You don't limit God. You be open to Him. You get in His word. If He tells you to do something, do it. That's a rhema word. See, a lot of times we think, this is where you get in trouble with the unrenewed mind and thinking. It's called stinking thinking because it's not in line with God. You limit God just because you haven't done it before? Why in the world? And I've done it. I'm not blaming it. I've done it. But I'm saying, let's take the limits off. He goes from a tree to a mountain. If God said for you to do it, step out and do it. That's a word for you in season for you to do. What? It gives Him glory, saints. Let's go. Let's see what we got here. Okay. For surely I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast in the sea, and does not doubt in his heart. See, we're talking about the heart. Everything flows from the heart. If you're going to move a mountain, listen to me. Your mountain, if you any type of mountain that you have, it's waiting for your voice. It's waiting for you to put things in order. That mountain, in this case, this mountain is it represents your problem. In other words, that mountain's in your way, preventing you from going forward. It's preventing you from going forward in the kingdom of God. So your mountain needs to hear your voice. It's the voice of faith, right? Because it says here, be removed and cast into sea, and does not doubt in his heart. So you can doubt in your head, but not the heart. Because out of the heart flows the issues of life. We'll get to that a little bit later. It's the heart. It's the heart that you need to protect. Because that's the reason why if the enemy can mess up the things in the heart, he messes up your faith. Because faith that has doubt and unbelief will begin to limit that faith. It begins to neutralize faith. It just will. It will neutralize your faith. That's where you got to keep your faith pure. See, it don't take a lot of faith. It just takes pure faith. That's the reason why you just get rid of the stuff, the unbelief, the doubt. Get rid of all that. Just believe God. God said it. I believe it. God said, I'm going to do it. Forget about the doubt. Cast those imaginations down. Just do what He says to do. It's from the heart. It's from the heart. It says, does not doubt in his heart, but believes those things he says will be done. He will have whatever he says. So it's more than just saying, but yet saying is usually the first thing that's going to come out of your mouth is faith. Usually it's first. Your words. Death and life's in the power of the tongue. It's going to be your words. That's the reason why the devil, he's constantly bombarding your mind with thoughts. Why? So that you'll speak them. Then you're getting on his turf. Fear. the senses. Oh, it never worked for you. Yeah, I know it never worked. I should see how easy it is to take those thoughts. Don't take them. Let them die. Just ignore it. If it don't line up with the Word, just don't give it a voice. Only give God Word a voice. In verse 24, it says, "Therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them." Now see, now I'm talking about revelation knowledge, not sense knowledge. So in order for 24, verse 24 to work, it says you have to what? Believe that you receive before you have them. See, Kenneth Hagin says this is what separates the men from the boys. Because a lot of people got this turned around. If I can see it, I'll believe it. See, that's like Thomas, right? I'm not going to believe a thing. We all probably need to look at that. I'm not going to believe it until I see, until I feel, then I'll believe. But see, that's not what God says. You're going to have to believe. And where does the belief come from? It comes from the heart. It don't come the other way around. I'm just waiting for the manifestation. Well, you're going to have to believe that you received first. In other words, faith says, I got it. Now see, this what get it tilts your mind. I got it. Well, where's that? Faith has given substance to it, to the things hoped for. It's just not in manifestation yet. See, that's the reason why you got to be careful not to just blab it to anyone. Because then you're not trying to convince anyone. Right? The only important person is you. You have to believe it. I believe that I receive it now. I'm not worried about the manifestation. That's not the right word to use. The manifestation will come. The manifestation, I just believe. And the Bible says those who believe enter into rest. So I'm not anxious about it. I believe what I prayed. I believe I have it. It's done. It's done. Now I have to continue to walk by faith and not by sight. But spiritually speaking, my faith sees it. Hope is out there. Hope has been set. I see it. I see myself well. I see myself prosperous. Why? Because I have evidence. The Word. The title deed. As far as physical evidence, I don't have it. So that's the reason why I don't go around telling people. Most of the stuff Joanne and I believe for are just us, between us. But they will come into manifestation. God's not a liar. He's true to His Word. Amen. Let's look at Thomas. I think it's John. Let's see. Maybe I didn't write that down. John 20, 25. Turn John 20, 25. Let's look at Thomas for a minute. John 20. 25. Amen. Are you there? Thomas says, "Unless I see in his hands the print of the nails and put my finger into the print of the nails and put my hand into his side, I will not believe. Then Jesus appeared to him, and Thomas said, my Lord, my God. In verse 29, Jesus said to him, Thomas, because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen yet believed. So in other words, Thomas' faith was based totally on sense. Totally on sense. But Jesus said, blessed are those who have not seen yet believed. They're the ones that are blessed. I'm telling you, excuse me. If you're waiting for that type of the Thomas type of faith is totally sense. That is totally out of order. What we just read in Mark 11:24. He's got totally backwards. The manifestation comes as a result of believing. He's got his totally turned around. In other words, he's considering the physical part more than the actual word. Now let's look at Abraham. Turn with me to Romans chapter 4. Chapter 4. And we'll start with verse 18. Who contrary to hope, believed in hope, so that he became the father of many nations, according to what was spoken. So shall your descendants be. And not being weak in faith. Well, if you could be weak in faith, you can be strong in faith, right? And not being weak in faith, he did not, get this, underline this, he did not consider. See, it's just opposite of Thomas. He did not consider his own body already dead since he was about 100 years old and the deadness of Sarah's womb. So he's just the opposite. He's considering not. He's not denying it. Come on. He's not denying it, but he's not considering it. In other words, he's not giving what he's seeing in the natural first place. It doesn't matter because he's got the evidence. He's got the title deed right here. He said, in other words, I believe God. I consider the promise. I'm not considering the problem that I'm old, nor my wife that she's old, never bore children before. I'm not considering that. See how important that is? How we can also use that in our life? With something going wrong, don't consider the problem. I mean, just get into the Word. What does the Word say about it? Go to the Word first. Abraham, what's he do? He considers what God said. And not only that, he gets in agreement with God, right? In other words, God says, I changed your name to Abraham. So he gets in agreement with God and starts calling himself Abraham. He circumcises his whole family, his whole household. Why? Because he believes God. So he changes his name and he begins to frame. He begins to call forth those things that be not as though they were. So he's acting just like God. He's framing. He's building. But you can't consider the circumstances and try to do what God says. You got to leave that go. You got to step away from that and get your focus on Him. What did He say to you? Right? And put that in your mouth, right? Confession, all confession means is to say the same thing. Our confession should be saying the same thing. Get yourself in agreement. See, that is what causes the manifestation. You get yourself in agreement, you say what God says, and the things will start to line up. May not be overnight. It may take some time, but just keep the faith switch on. It's just temporary. It's changing. The spirit of faith speaks. It believes, therefore speaks. You keep saying what the Word says. Abraham, I mean, he had changed his name to Abraham before he saw manifestation. Before Isaac ever showed up, he changed his name long before then, right? Didn't that look foolish in the natural? Most people, I could imagine most people saying, come on, Abraham, come on, you know better than that. But he had a word from God. You just say what God says. Here again, he's old. Sarah's old. It looks impossible. Just do what God says. You get the word in your mouth. You speak it out of the heart and things begin to change. God began to move that clock back, started to renew his life like that of an eagle's, right? He satisfies my mouth with good. Amen. He renews my youth like the eagle's. God's not a respecter of person. He'll turn the clock back for you too. Hallelujah. Amen. I know you're excited. Amen. Turn with me to Proverbs chapter 4. I think we'll just close with this. Proverbs chapter 4. Hallelujah. Are you getting anything tonight? Amen. Amen. Revelation. Rhema word, food for the inward man. Amen. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 20. We'll read the first three or four verses. My son, give attention. That word attention, you could say hearken. Hearken to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart. Verse 22, for they are life to those who find them and health to all their flesh. Now, I know we all know this, and we're pretty familiar with this, but it's interesting. In verse 22, it says, for they are life to those who find them. That word find, I got in my Bible, and I wrote this down. It means to unwrap. It means to light up. It means to discover. It means to come forth. Other words, and this is me. This is what I put down in my Bible. The word find is revelation knowledge. Well, where did that revelation knowledge come from? It came from verse 20. It says, give attention, hearken to my voice, or hearken to my words, incline your ear. Your ear. In other words, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. In other words, he's talking about the ear gate. You're hearing me? So faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, which brings revelation, which brings a rhema word. So that word, so in verse 22, life to those who find them, and health, that word health is medicine, which your cross-reference might say, is medicine to all your flesh. But you, like Kenneth Hagin says, but you got to do what the directions say. You got to Take the medicine according to the directions. And the directions are in verses 20 and 21. So it says, my son, give attention or attend to my words. Incline thy ear. Other words, you keep hearing the word. You keep hearing it. He's talking about one time. It's a constant hearing. Incline your ear to what I'm saying. Incline it. In verse 21, don't let them depart from your eyes. Keep looking through the eye gate. So we got the ear gate and we got the eye gate. You keep looking. You keep hearing. You keep looking. You keep... Don't let it depart from your eyes. See, this is what got Peter in trouble, right? He got a rhema word. Come. He was focused. Then he got his eyes off. His eyes departed from the Logos. Jesus is the Logos. You get that in John, in the Gospel of John. John talks about this in depth. But Jesus is the Logos. In other words, Peter got a word from Logos. The rhema word always comes from the Logos. But Peter got his eyes off the Logos, the source. You can't get your eyes off the source. When the Bible says looking into Jesus, it means looking. It's not a glance. It is a locked on glaze. So 2021 is the key for the word to be medicine for your body. It's the evidence. In other words, it'll bring a rhema word. For instance, okay, you need healing for your body. Well, Matthew 8:17. He himself took our infirmities and bore our sicknesses. That'd be a good one for healing. Well, for you keep listening to that, and you keep listening to that, and you keep looking at that until what? It becomes rhema. It comes revelation to you. You keep that before your eyes continually. You keep hearing it. And you guard it. It goes on to say in verse 23, and keep your heart. That's your ground, right? Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it flows the issues of life. So you guard your heart. You guard the heart. You guard your eyes. You guard your ears. You don't listen to anything. You don't look at anything. You're looking at the Word. You're listening to the Word. Don't allow anything else to enter in. The afflictions and the cares and persecutions and the lust of other things. Don't allow things to enter in. You guard it with everything you got. Because you got to protect that. That's your title deed. That's what you're believing God for. That's the evidence. So you guard your heart. Once you get a revelation, saints, the enemy will come after it. Once that light comes on, illumination, the fight's on. As long as it's banging around your head, you don't get his attention that much. But when it comes rhema, he's after it. Amen. He's after it. He'll bring persecution. He'll bring the cares of life. He'll bring deceitfulness of riches, lust of other things. He'll bring it all to get that word, that revelation out of you. He'll fight you. But you guard. You guard. There's no, listen, you keep guard. The enemy, there's not a thing he can do. Because the only thing he can do is deceive you with deception, thoughts. Just keep your guard up. It says in verse 22, for they are life to those who find them. In other words, revelations come to you. You found them. You're enlightened. You got light. And health to all their flesh. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it flows the issues of life. Amen. See, when you talk about faith, you know, the Bible talks about faith as being a law. Right? It's a law of faith. The law of faith, I mean, just like, how should I say this? When we're believing, let me back up a little bit. When we're believing God, there should always be corresponding actions. Always. When Jesus spoke to the fig tree, he had corresponding actions. That tree spoke it. What did he do? He just walked away. Actually, you think about it, that was very unique. That was neat. He spoke to the tree. As far as Jesus is concerned, it's done. His corresponding action was just to walk away from it. What? Because it's done. He don't need to sit there and watch. It's done. He comes back. He's not surprised at all. He just says, have faith in God. Why? Because faith is predictable. I can take this pen out and I can drop it. Now, Shelby, look. I can drop this 100 times and I believe 100 out of 100 it'll drop. She's smart. She went to college. That's just the law of gravity. The law of faith supersedes gravity. It's more predictable than the law of gravity. If this worked in the natural, how much more will God's word work? It is predictable. Much more predictable than what the gravity does. Because it's like Peter walking on the water. We like that story, don't we? I do, I guess. Superseding gravity, superseding water. I mean, just one word from God. Isn't that amazing what the word? It'll do. It'll do what God intended to do. It's very predictable. So when you believe God, when you believe His word, it's more predictable than the law of gravity. You know the outcome. That's why, listen, you could rest. You kick back and rest. Now, there's corresponding action, but really, that's one of the greatest corresponding actions you can have is just rest. Now, your mouth should always be moving. Faith always talks. But see, a lot of people, just getting in that rest position is very hard because anxious thoughts. Is it going to work? No. When you have revelation knowledge and you step out on it, now the enemy will fight you. Come on, it's going to be a fight. But the word, you keep the word in your heart, it'll do the work. It'll get the job done. Just leave it alone. Don't dig up the seed. Right? Guard the heart. If you want good ground, you're going to have to guard the ground. Let the seed work. Amen.
That concludes today's message. For more information about Oasis Church, please visit myoasischurch.com. Thanks for listening.